thank you, Lord, for the meal that she's prepared for us through you. We ask, we want to hear your words, Lord, spoken through her. Give us hearing ears, and let us receive what you have. And bless her, Lord, by all her words. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, this is a joyous day. I think little Levi has arrived. Hallelujah. He's a handsome young thing, isn't he?
Beautiful.
I don't know which one of your children is the most beautiful. Oh, he's not here. Well, anyway, I don't know which one of your grandchildren are the most beautiful. They're all just amazing. Amazing, amazing. We don't have any child that's not absolutely gorgeous in this place.
Amen.
I mean, God has blessed this place with beautiful children. That's amazing. It really is amazing. And I thank the Lord for that. Well, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and keep your place there. Talk tonight about abiding in the blood covenant. We have a sure thing. We have a very profound covenant with the God of the universe. And sometimes we don't realize how profound that is. Covenant is more than just a promise. God gave a sign of blood, his son Jesus, to verify this covenant and what it means. And most of us don't realize the crux of this covenant. We don't think of it first because we think of it as, hey, he's our Savior, he's our Lord, he's our King. But I want to bring another aspect into the fact that we have this blood covenant. Because a covenant is totally different than a contract. A contract can be broken. But God's covenant cannot be broken. And not only did he send his son to verify it, but we still have the evidence of that in our communion. And so when we take communion, it's reminding the Father of his covenant. It's reminding the devil of who we belong to, and it's reminding us of the covenant. And it's a very, very profound and necessary covenant demonstration. And it's not, some people don't realize the value and importance of what happens when we partake in this covenant. And I want to bring that out today because of what is happening in our world. We need to remember our covenant was shed, there was blood shed for our covenant. And in that covenant is protection. And there's a lot being talked about today. We all know about the coronavirus. It's under the blood, folks. It's all under the blood. And we have a covenant. So don't let any fear or anything that you hear cause you to have fear. Because fear is under the blood too. And who knows what's going to happen in the days ahead? I don't think we really know what's going to happen. It's going to affect us, what the enemy is doing. But I do know that it's also going to produce a harvest like none other. It's people are going to think about God, some for the first time in their life. And the harvest has begun, There are massive people coming to the Lord now. I know that by the Spirit because I've been praying. And God is showing me what he's doing. And China is unprecedented. It's unprecedented. There are millions that will come to the Lord as a result of what's happening. What the enemy does for evil, God uses for good. And as covenant people, we have a rights in that covenant. Our rights in that covenant are all the promises of God. But when God said that we are seated with him in heavenly places, we need to begin to meditate on who we are, what that means, and how he wants to use us in our heavenly place with him to use our authority to bring forth this harvest. We are in a position of ruling and reigning with him, and we need to understand who we are in him, and why he made this covenant, and what motivated this covenant. Can anybody say what motivated this covenant?
Love.
Thank you. Love. It's all about love. Without the revelation of that in this blood covenant and who God is, the thought of God can produce great anxiety in the lives of people as we try to perform for him. In Psalm 25:14, it says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant." And the Hebrew word for the secret, for secret, is paralleled in this same verse as covenant. We need to understand the covenant God's made with us. It demonstrates the heart of God and his infinite love for us. And from the very first covenant in Genesis to the last demonstration of his blood covenant on the cross, the Lord's intentions were always the same: to make sure that our relationship was restored, because he desired that. He desires us. We are infinitely precious to him. And anything the enemy tells you, that you're a failure, that you didn't measure up, that you're different, that you're just, you know, God forgot about you, you just remind him, no, God has shed his blood, and it's eternal, and I am that important that he himself shed his blood. Don't let the enemy tell you anything different. And don't let fear come nigh your door. Because fear is only a name. It is just a name. And it goes under the feet. Under our feet is under our feet. The blood is defeated fear. Pick the right song. Songs. And I just felt like the Lord wants me to remind you that his covenant is a demonstration of that infinite love for you. The anxiety of failing God is called condemnation. And we all deal with condemnation, especially when we're doing something right, because the enemy is certainly going to come and tell us that we're not measuring up, we're not doing what God really wants us to do, that we're not important. Whatever he speaks to you, you hear what I'm saying. And this is evident even more now. As we come into what we don't even know what we're coming into, we know we have a covenant, and we know God has a plan. And we're included in that plan. So don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. Just stay in the secret place that God has called us to. And I want to speak that word. The Lord said to remind them of that word. That he says, "I am calling my people to a secret place in me." Now this place is a place of protection. to get to know me in a way they have not heretofore known me, saith the Lord. A place that's hidden under the shadow of his wings, as in the days of old. It speaks of it in Psalm 91. When my Son of Righteousness arose with healing in his wings, so these are the days that I am birthing sons, manifested sons. The earth is crying and waiting and groaning for the manifestations of the sons. They will be one who are hidden in me. My hidden ones will do great exploits in times and times and a half by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and they will be in every hill and valley, in the highways and the byways, for my name's sake. They will have my light, saith the Lord. So come, be ye separate, and dwell in my presence, and take up this mantle I have prepared for you. Become intimately acquainted with who I am and who you are in me. There are instructions and revelations you must receive. Now is the time for preparation. And he gave me this in December. As we meet together, for your lamps must be full. The oil will flow and your light will shine among men, drawing them to me. Yet many will be martyred for my name's sake in these last days. Now is the time my sons are being honed to perfection. My bride is being prepared. And one of the things I want to share with you is a testimony that I read, and it's so powerful, I have to tell you about this testimony. There was a young pastor who was serving in Brazil, and he was giving his testimony when he was in a meeting. He said of his call, he talked about his call, that he was to leave a success, he left a successful blossoming business career. His denomination sent him to a remote place with his wife and baby girl in the village in the Amazon. And with this promise to send them support. They were going to support him there. So he excitingly threw himself into the preaching of the gospel with zeal and excitement in this place. He prayed and he employed all his strength in an attempt to fill this little church with new converts. But nothing happened. The people did not come. And the few Christians who were there when he arrived did not share his excitement. He worked in stifling humidity, and he watched his personal funds drain away. Tithes from his tiny congregation were paid in vegetables. The weeks passed into months, and he watched in mental agony as his wife and children lived a starvation diet. And his denomination rarely sent money. He felt disillusioned and abandoned by God and the church. One night, lying awake, sweating in the stifling heat, discouragement took over him. Have you ever been there? I sure have. He felt disillusioned and abandoned by God and the church. He woke up his wife and he told her that he had decided that they would leave and return to Rio de Janeiro, where he would resume his business career. But, there's always a but with the Holy Ghost. Before he left, he knew he had to process his anger toward God. He brought us up here, and he dumped us. That's the way he felt. He doesn't care whether we live or die. And I have to tell him how I feel. Some people just wouldn't tell him. They just go and do their own thing. He packed and he went to a remote shack on the edge of the jungle to pour out his anger and his confused heart. The first morning in the tiny shack, his pent-up emotions broke down. He railed and he raged at God for bringing him to such a place, expecting him and his family to serve him in a place with such impossible circumstances. He shook his fist and he shouted, "Did you bring us here to starve us to death?" Then he wept. And later on that afternoon, the presence of God seemed to fill the place, and great stillness came over him. Then he heard God speak clearly and distinctly to his heart. God said to him, "Above all, I desire your friendship. If serving me interrupts and disrupts our friendship, I would rather you go back to your business and continue, my friend. Your friendship is more important to me than your acts of service." He dissolved into tears, and he wept in wonder and joy the remainder of that afternoon. He had never considered this as a Christian concept before. Many of us don't consider the fact that many of us are in that place of God's calling me as a servant. Well, that's true. But we cannot serve God out of an obligation. We can't love people out of obligation or natural excitement. We have to serve him out of relationship. Everything is about our relationship with God. And it's true. It's the most important thing to him. That is why he died. Out of our love and our relationship with him comes our service. Yes. He's not pounding us. He is not saying, "Go, go, go." Even though we are going, we can't really accomplish anything without carrying that relationship that we have, that knowing God and the way that he's called us to know him. And so many of us have ideas that are really not based on what God intends for us. We need to ask him, say, "Lord, how do I know you? How do I get to know what you really are wanting from me?" Because we feel like if we don't do enough, I mean, every one of us deals with this in our life. Did I do enough? Did I do what you wanted me to do? It is about who he wants us to be with. It isn't about what he wants us to do. And when we spend that time with him, when we go into that secret place that he's calling us to, the revelation of that relationship and the depth of it will come. That is why he's calling us. He's saying, "Come away with me. Get in the secret place. Turn off your phones. Turn off your TVs. Let every distraction go by the wayside. Because I am telling you, until we really focus on that relationship and allow him to establish such a depth in us that nothing can change that, we'll be following Justin walking on the water. Because we won't have any fear." You know, back in the bubonic plague time, John G. Lake ministered to all the people that were sick. And he never got the bubonic plague. There were many Christians who were in that place. I know what you want to say, but hold on. There are many Christians in that place that were in that place at that time. We just know of a few. But when we know that we know who we are, we can go in the depths of a dark place and have no fear. Heidi Baker, at one time, her husband had been sick for 3 years, lost his mind, couldn't function, he was dying. And there was a plague in Africa where she was. And the hospital was quarantined. And God said, "Go in there and pray for my people." She knew they would let her in. So
So she obeyed the Lord because she had a deep relationship. She knew what God could do. So she went in. And everybody was in bad shape. She said, they drooled all over me. They coughed. They even threw up on me. But every single person, she went up to them. And she said, stand up just back. She said, I went and I put my face next to each child and every adult. And God healed every person in that hospital. So are we in a place that we're so secure in who we are in God that if God asks us to do what looks like the impossible and that would might take our life, would we do that? This is why we have to lay down the distractions and get in that secret place and get to that place where we fear not, for He is with us. We're not dismayed because He is our God, and He will strengthen us and He will help us, and He will hold us with the right hand of His righteousness. There are many, many things that will come before us that will seem like, oh, we can't do that. But we have to be ready for those things. And God is reminding us that you have a covenant. I shed my blood for that covenant with you. I shed my blood. You are protected in my covenant. And He is bringing us to that place as we press in to a deeper relationship. He is bringing us to that place, but it isn't about works, it's about love. It's about love. And love is going to be the motivating factor in everything we do. And you know, it's not now, you know. We don't do everything, you know, we don't do everything in love. But God's getting us there. He's getting us there. And we will have bowels of compassion like we've never had before if we allow Him to work in us the deep work. If we get away from the distractions and truly allow our presence to be known. I mean, you never know. We might not have too many distractions. You don't know. We don't know what the future brings. I don't want God to have to cut off everything to get me at my attention. I want to volunteer.
Amen.
I want to volunteer. But we know. This man, he realized that even his prayer life was a list of what I have to do and what God's calling me to do and what I need, blah, blah, blah. You know? And we get to that place where you're working this list with God, you know? And this revelation of relationship that was more important to God that He had a relationship with Him than the work that he felt God was calling him to do, it totally dismantled every religious bone in his body. And he stayed and walked out his salvation and had great success. I'm sure it took a while. I'm sure it didn't happen overnight. But God is calling each of us to be sons. And sons are what the earth is waiting, moaning and groaning for. And I know in the spirit that there are many sons in China who are bringing in the harvest now. And we need to pray for them. We need to pray. The Lord put it on my heart yesterday to pray because the harvest is strong there. And His people will be the ones who are praying in the harvest. So, Father, I just thank You for Your word. Let's turn to Ephesians. And I want to, this is a prayer that we all should be praying. And it really is the prayer that God wants us to pray on a continual basis.
Ephesians 1. And I pray for it. I pray it often in our prayer meeting. But I want to discuss what it's about for a brief moment. It's Ephesians 1, and starting at verse... Colossians here. There's one in Colossians that's very similar, but in Ephesians 1, starting at 15. Wherefore I also, Paul is saying, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceedingly greatness of his power to us for to believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And in Luke 10:19, he has given us the authority that he has. And we need to understand that we are covenant. Our covenant is eternal. It isn't just, okay, we got this family. God's covenant family, we are. That is what he wanted me to remind you of, because we don't know the things we're going to have to face, but we know who we have to face it with. And that is the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us in every way. So again, I urge you to get into that secret place, to pray and get distractions out of your life, so that we can be prepared to be those manifested sons. And I don't think the time is going to be too long before we're going to have to be walking situations that we never thought we'd walk. But the Father is walking with us. And there is nothing like the peace of knowing that he's perfecting all those things that concern us, and that he's preparing us. And I'm thankful to be a part of the family of God, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.